Now, can we have the next slide up, Shirley? I know it's all about the orange. I'm afraid I have diligently searched the Bible for references to oranges. Very, very tricky. There is a town called Joppa in the Bible, which I believe is now called Jaffa. But I decided not to go for that. So I've gone for the set readings for today. And the first one does mention fruit. So listen out for that. Shirley's going to read this for us. It's from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, from before the coming of Jesus. Isaiah prophesied around 740 BC, so in the 8th century BC. So if you want to turn to this passage, it's on page 696 in the Pew Bibles, and Shirley's going to read it for us. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, page 696.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God, and thank you to you, Shirley. So can we have the next slide up, please, Jonathan? I don't know if you've ever seen a scene like this, a forest, great big forest, where all the trees have been chopped down, a scene of devastation. Perhaps it looks lifeless and hopeless. And that's the scene that we should picture as we begin this chapter in the book of Isaiah. If you've got it open, you can look back to chapter 10 and verse 15. Where God talks about the Assyrians, so the great superpower of the day, a foreign nation compared to God's people Israel. And he says, well, I've used Assyria like an axe to chop down my people, to bring my judgment against them for the wrong things they've done. But Assyria too is going to face God's judgment. So that's the bleak, rather sad picture to imagine as we begin this chapter in Isaiah. But then what does he say in chapter 11 and verse 1? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Can you imagine it? In that forest, maybe just this one little sign of life, a new shoot, new growth, hope, something happening, maybe in a small, unexpected, hidden way. And this shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. Now it's Bible trivia quiz time. Who on earth was Jesse? Well, Jane knows. Okay. David's father. No need to sound quite so bored and reluctant about it, girl. So who was David? King David. Okay. So David is one of the greatest kings of the Old Testament, King David and King Solomon, the greatest kings in Old Testament time. And Jesse is really just famous for being the dad of David, okay? So at this time, Isaiah is saying, well, King David's line will be cut off. It'll be cut down even before David, back to Jesse, sort of really down to base stump level, nothing much. But then a root will come that will grow into a branch that will bear fruit. There'll be a new king like David, a new Davidic king, the long-promised Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one, the rescuer king, who's going to come and sort everything out. There'll be a new king like David, great King David's greater son. And of course, because we've cheated and we've read the rest of the book, we know who this is, don't we? We know it's the Lord Jesus. Like a little shoot, we might say, he grew in the womb of Mary, hidden, obscure, unknown, but God bringing new life and doing something. And he became a branch that would bear fruit, that would shape Western civilization, that would change countless lives. That's the hope that Isaiah speaks of. Let's have the next slide, Shirley. So, if you want our Bible reading in a sentence, it's this. Isaiah speaks of hope of a perfect king with a perfect kingdom for all nations. It's hard to find really good and admirable leaders, isn't it? I don't know if you were watching Matt Hancock's every move in the jungle, were you? I confess I didn't see it, but some people thought he was quite sort of, you know, game for a laugh and had given the whole thing a good go. But even if we conclude that there are some politicians who are basically good people who are trying to do their best, they really don't have all the answers, do they? Do you know a politician who knows the answers to the cost of living crisis and inflation and war in Europe? It would be fantastic to hear from them. But here is a perfect king, King Jesus, the one on whom the Spirit of God will rest. One will have wisdom and understanding and counsel and power and knowledge and fear of God. He will have those sevenfold virtues, full, complete, perfect virtue that a perfect ruler would need. And he will not judge by external appearances. He'll really know and understand, and he'll do the right thing. He'll bring about justice and save and deliver the needy and the poor, and judge wickedness. He'll put the world to rights. He'll be a perfect king, and he'll have a perfect kingdom. Now, I wonder how the lamb and the goat felt about this prospect, that they would live with the wolf and lie down with the leopard. But Isaiah is saying it's going to be a perfect world of peace and harmony. It's going to be the Garden of Eden restored, only better, because now it's not just the holy mountain, but the whole world that will be full of the knowledge of God. And who is this perfect king, this perfect kingdom going to be for? Well, for all the peoples. The nations will rally to him. King Jesus invites us today to come to him. Let's have the next slide, Shirley. Our passage speaks of hope for all nations, hope for all people, hope for anyone who will put their trust in King Jesus. So we're going to have our second reading now. I'm literally just going to say a few sentences about this reading. You'll notice it quotes our first reading, and it's about that same theme of hope for all the nations in King Jesus. And Fenella is going to read it for us. This time from the New Testament. So Paul is looking back to some of those promises of the Old Testament, and he begins by talking about the Old Testament writings. Thank you, Fenella.
So this reading is from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13, and that's on page 1141 in your pew Bibles. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Fenella. So those are really striking words, aren't they? Of course the Old Testament was written for Old Testament believers, for the people at that time. But Paul can write to the Roman Christians in the first century and say, no, these things were written for us. We're Christian believers today. The Old Testament is for us. It's not the word of God emeritus, just to sit on the shelf there. It's for us. It points us forward to King Jesus. And Paul is telling us that God has kept his promises that he made to the patriarchs. That's to the ancient fathers of old in the Old Testament, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the others. And these promises are not just for God's Old Testament people, Israel, they're for the Gentiles too. That is for the non-Jewish people, for the nations, for anyone who will come and put their trust in him, so that all people might glorify God for his mercy, his undeserved kindness, his generosity to us, that all people might have hope in Jesus and sing God's praises and glorify him. So that's our prayer for one another this Christmas, that God may fill us with hope and joy and peace as we trust in Jesus. Jesus, the perfect King, who promises a perfect kingdom, who perfectly fulfills all those Old Testament promises. And the blessings of his kingdom are for anyone from all nations who will come and put their hope and trust in him. Well, may God enable us to do so. Amen.